is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague, Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, based in London. He writes the political economics column for the journal. Based in London, he observes America from a fresh point of view. Well, the point of view turns out to be exactly what Joe wrote about these last several weeks, inflation. That's the point of view. However, there was a bomb. It is possible that it is not the terrible, awful inflation. It's possible that it's the good, benign inflation, otherwise called temporary inflation. Joe, a very good evening to you. We have much to discuss about the virus, the vaccine, the lockdown, saving summer, and London parks. But we begin with the luminary Warren Buffett in perhaps his farewell or near farewell to the Berkshire Hathaway audience, the devoted fans who've watched him prosper for the last decades, handing off to a worthy successor, mentioned that inflation is here, said Warren Buffett. It's all around us. It's rising inflation, the worst kind, nothing temporary about it. What happened, Joe? Did somebody throw a switch in the last 7 days since we talked? Because a week ago, you were a lone cowboy out there on the range saying, you know, there's inflation here and it's not good. Did something happen in these days? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. Well, I would, as much as I would like to claim credit for everyone, you know, reading my columns and listening to our broadcasts together and, you know, following my lead on the inflation issue, I think that the bigger point here is just that a lot of these price developments that we are seeing in the economy, especially in the U.S., are now just becoming impossible to ignore. You know, I think that there had been this phenomenon, and we have discussed this, you know, in recent weeks, sort of this hope that what we were witnessing were some price spikes that were isolated to a particular couple commodities, and it would also be relatively short-lived. We were just going through a sort of an adjustment as the economy revved back to life, and it would all sort itself out pretty quickly. And I think that what you have from Warren Buffett's pronouncements on the subject and from, you know, other things that are starting to come out, whether it's, you know, housing materials, whether it's other commodities, whether it's consumer prices or fuel, it's impossible to ignore now that these price rises are here, and they are causing increasing stress for an increasing number of households.
The households in the U.S. are watching food prices spike, along with all the commodities. Are you seeing similar spikes in the U.K.? Because you have a completely different approach to inflation. Your government is not proposing trillions and trillions. Your government, the London government, is not proposing trillions and trillions. Do you also find food dear?
Well, my sense as a shopper here has been that there has been a long-term inflation that has been going on in the UK, which really goes all back about a decade now. I mean, certainly the official data have been pretty constrained, but I can give you a real-world example that British consumers like me face. You know, when I buy these tablets that you put in the dishwasher for the detergent, I notice I'm paying the same price for the same number of them, but at some point a couple of years ago, the tablets started getting smaller. So you have this form of hidden inflation that goes on a lot, you know, in all parts of the world, where you're paying the same price, but you're getting less than you used to. And I think that, you know, British consumers have become accustomed to that sort of thing. Now, I think the pressure here is perhaps not as acute because the British government is not currently proposing enormous stimulus measures the way the U.S. is. And also, you know, I think that the monetary policy environment operates somewhat differently here, although the Bank of England is being very accommodative. But I think that, you know, definitely this is something consumers around the world are facing because so many of these commodities markets are global. So, you know, one of the things I've heard talking to people who are doing home improvement projects here is that the prices for some items, you know, especially if you have windows involving aluminum is one example I heard recently, you know, aluminum for the frames, that might be becoming more expensive and the lead times are getting longer because you have demand in the U.S. is actually pushing up prices for everyone.
Labor. Labor is a major concern in the U.S. I've done reporting on small businesses, and many people are considering selling their small businesses and retiring because they cannot get the labor force to sustain themselves. But this is true at all levels, big industry, small business. The Reuters report recently is wages in the food services industry, hospitality, which was very devastated by the pandemic, have now gone up 1.7%. We also have Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell acknowledging the worker shortage, reports Reuters. But then there's this twist, Joe, said the Federal Reserve Chairman. One big factor would be schools aren't open yet, so there's still people who are at home taking care of their children and would like to be back in the workforce, but can't be yet. Will the return of childcare parents, will the return of schools, will the return of the people who are getting extra on their unemployment checks that end in September, will that contribute to moderating inflation, or is slowing the wage price increase, or is that already in the number? Can we tell, Joe?
Well, the short answer is who knows? So underlying that kind of pronouncement from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and other monetary economists is this notion that somehow you can very finely slice and dice all of these different data, such as, you know, how many people are still home looking after their children instead of working, or what is the precise expectation in terms of the number of people who will come back into the workforce once unemployment benefits moderate, if they ever do, because Democrats want to extend some of those benefits indefinitely. And the assumption is that you can kind of put all of these pieces together and come up with a very finely calibrated expectation for what you think inflation is going to be 6 months down the road. And I think that we just need to be skeptical about whether that can happen. I mean, I think that it's certainly, you know, very possible that you will see some of these effects as parents start re-entering the labor market, because the schools are resuming, in a more full-time way. It could be that, some of these extensions of unemployment benefits don't push ahead in the same way. That creates more of an encouragement for people to go back to work, instead of continuing to claim benefits. Maybe, I think that would be a terrific scenario if it happens. But, it might also be that the schools don't permanently reopen. It could be that the labor force that we have right now is what we're going to get because it is proving so difficult in so many places to persuade teachers to return for full-time in-classroom instruction. Or it could be that the benefits always keep going the way that they are. And so, we will have problems bringing those workers back. I can't say what the outcome is going to be, and we should be worried that the Fed seems to think that they can say what the outcome will be, but I'm not convinced that they really have any way to know.
The Federal Reserve is seen as a check on inflation. Is that a urban legend, Joe, or can the action of Jerome Powell, say he reverses himself with the governors in the August, September, or whatever meetings are later in the year, is it too late by the time they move then?
I think that this is the real danger because, in fact, they are, they're not just saying that they're going to wait to tackle, any inflation that pops up. They are actually saying very explicitly that they will tolerate inflation that is above their stated 2% target for an indeterminate period of time if they think that that is good for the economy in some way that they can't precisely define. So, and I think that this is contributing to the sense that it's going to be very difficult for them to try to increase rates if that's what they end up needing to do to moderate inflation, because while they have held rates for as long as they have, you have all of this new borrowing, including by the federal government, which is premised on, some notion of interest rates staying pretty low for a long time. And I think that the more that happens, the more the Fed has to think about factors other than just controlling inflation. They want to not be pushing debtors into distress across the economy by amping up the interest rate. So I think that just illustrates the kind of danger that they're in. And again, you raises questions about how precisely they can calibrate any of this. They want us to believe that they are firmly in control of all of these levers all the time, but we don't know how in control they are, and we don't know how well those levers would work once they are pulled.
I'm speaking with Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics in his column in London, and we're going to turn to Europe and the United Kingdom when we come back. Vaccine nationalism has been a story for many months. Has it abated? Is there a rosy scenario emerging in the Eurozone? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.